Welcome back. Sort of, going to shift gears a little bit because my good friend Sid Rosenberg, who's the morning host on our sports sister station, or I guess we're the sister and they're the brother, because I don't think guys would like me referring to them in that manner. In any case, he had come to me a couple of months ago and he said, you're an analytical genius. Why don't you read my cousin's book and tell me what you think? And so that's kind of how it started. And of course, since my daughter is a psychiatrist, I'm always interested in how therapists think. So Dr. Linda Sherby is my guest. She's written a book. It's called Love and Loss in Life and Treatment. And I have to admit, it's a very compelling book. How are you, Doc?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. And I'm glad you found it a compelling book.
Well, I really did, especially because I sometimes don't understand how my daughter thinks. And you kind of gave me a little bit of insight into her own, patients don't think about their analysts and their therapists as having the same issues with loss and with all that. And I think this book really, in a very lovely and kind of gentle and yet deeply profound way, talks about how you feel instead of how the patient feels. So what compelled you to write this?
Well, what compelled me to write it was the death of my husband. The book, the real under the ground motivation for writing the book was in some ways to memorialize him, to memorialize our relationship, and also I think to, as another way of both holding on to him and moving beyond him. So it's part of my mourning process, my grieving process as well.
What I thought was fascinating, because I lost my parents 3 years ago. It's actually almost the anniversary of my, within 6 weeks of each other.
Wow, and that's hard.
It was very hard. And the part that people really didn't understand was the fact that I lost my father on July 4th. I came back and did my show on July 6th.
Wow.
And you talk about coming back after the death of your husband in what most people would consider pretty record-breaking time. I think it's really, if you're dealing with a loss, it doesn't mean that life stops.
Right, and although sometimes you wish it would, or you can't believe it doesn't. Like the day of the memorial for my husband, I had to run out and buy some to the grocery store. And I was like, I can't believe the world is continuing on just as if, he's still here. Right. So in some way, it's, incredulous, the idea that the world could really keep continuing. But for me, my work was very grounding. Mm-hmm. It was very important to me. I mean, I worked throughout my husband's illness, which was a long illness. It was 16 months, and I mean, 16 months of the worst of it anyway. Mm-hmm. And going to work was extremely important to me. I could focus on someone besides myself. I could hear somebody else's pain besides my own. Yes, I'm sure that in fact, that's part of what the point of the book is that a therapist or analyst's present life circumstance does affect her work and does affect the treatment, sometimes in positive ways and sometimes in negative. So I'm sure that where I was in my life was affecting my treatment, but hopefully, and I think the book does show that in certain instances, clearly for the better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you talk about some of the people that you were working with and some of the caring and love that you had for them as well. And it will motivate you. My daughter works with veterans who have recently returned and they either have traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress. And I asked her why, that's tough work with a lot of, bad results so far, and they're not very effective. There's no protocols.
Right.
And she said to me, but there is something about being around heroes that thrills me, she said, and it keeps me motivated. And I think you talk about the humanness of your patients really getting you through some tough times.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always two people in the treatment room, mm-hmm. always. And what's going on with them affects me, and what's going on with me affects them. Now, I think it is important that a therapist stay aware of what's going on for her as much as possible. And I think that you just not come in and spill your guts. I mean, the therapist is still the therapist. The idea isn't to be in an equally sharing relationship. You have to stay focused on what you're doing,
yeah.
and on the work and the job. It's not just, I think I'll come in and tell you I'm having a hard day.
Right. Well, as my daughter says, she's in therapy because that's where she gets to do the dumping.
Right.
And she feels that she can separate her what's going on in her personal life for the most part, although it does, as you say, well, she just had a baby, her first
uh-huh.
child.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I bring a new joy to sessions
right.
than I had before. And she said, it's a positive thing.
Right, absolutely. But it would be interesting, for example, if when she was pregnant, she had a patient, let's say, who just lost a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. that would be a circumstance that I'm sure your daughter would have had a lot of feelings about. And, you know, I'm not saying she would have told the patient, but what went on right in the moment would have affected patient and therapist in however a way that's not always clear.
Right. Well, look, I loved, there was a portion of your book where you talked about a separation. One of the patients that you'd been seeing for, I guess it was close to a decade, was leaving, moving away, and seemed to be taking it rather smoothly. And you said, gee, you know, here I was feeling this loss and this disconnection. And I thought, you know, I left the therapist when I moved down here.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that was probably the hardest separation I ever, it was easier to divorce my husband.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, certainly, as an analyst, I've certainly been in treatment. And yes, it's a very important relationship. I still think, you know, I still think about some of the things my analyst said a decade ago, or more, 2 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and hopefully, you know, that's maybe an important point. One of the things that's important about loss and about grieving is being able to take in internally in our minds the person who's lost. So what I just said to you, I still hear my analyst from 2 decades ago,
mm-hmm.
You know, who's saying things to me or hear his voice or hear things that I say that really came from him. I think that's part of what mourning is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can still hear my husband turn to me and say, my love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's important to me. And sometimes I'm petting my animals, and I will say that, you know, my love. And then I go, oh, that's my husband.
Yeah. Yeah, people still comment on the way that I will tell these stories about my parents and how I, you know, admittedly think about them every single day. And I
uh-huh.
say, I don't want to stop thinking about them.
Right.
And I don't want to stop telling the stories because their impact on me was that profound. It's, you know, and you're right, the memorialization of them has been healing for me.
Uh-huh, absolutely. And you're talking about them and having, obviously, and you when you talk about them on your show, you're obviously talking about them to a lot of people, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people have sent me emails and letters saying that it has helped them heal, you know, that nobody wants to hear it or nobody wants to talk about these
right.
things, and they are intimidated to bring up the stories of their parents or their you know, their departed husbands or even children. And they said the fact that I grieved so visibly and so
uh-huh.
so on the air was very helpful for them, and I, at the time, I didn't think about it that way.
Right. Well, I think that's one of the things that's been helpful in my book, because I've heard had people say, oh, it makes me feel less alone.
Yes.
You know, I'm mm-hmm. not the only one who feels this, whatever the this is. You know, I had a niece say to me, not about mourning, but she said, I never realized there were so many similarities between us. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, the idea of not being alone in your pain, which, of course, is what therapy also is about. But I think that's very important.
Absolutely. So now, as the book is it's out by Routledge. It's a the name of the book is Love and Loss in Life and in Treatment by Dr. Linda B. Sherby. You're local, right? You're here in Boca?
I'm here in Boca.
And you're still practicing?
Oh, yes. I could never, ever, ever imagine retiring.
That's a beautiful thing. And how can they get the book? Should they go to the... it from Sid, so I'm lucky.
Yeah, right. they can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Routledge, the Routledge, or they can go on my website, and they could press buy, and they can get it from any one of those. Should I give you my website?
Yes, please give it out.
It's www.lindasherbyphd.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And as I said, the book really was, for more than anything else, it gave me some insight into my daughter.
Oh, good.
and that's much needed, you know, when one has a 35-year-old daughter, there may be those moments when they go, what is she thinking? And you gave me a little insight into what she's thinking.
Well, I'm very glad. And thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Sherby. All right.